I folgte mir schon satt. Right, we wish to welcome everybody here, and thank you very much for making time to be with us and assist our oversight process. Today's engagement is very much unlike the normal that we have, in that there is no one on the talk, so to speak, and there is no report of the Auditor General condemning anybody for not having complied. So it is a very different hearing, and I suppose we'll hold it quite differently. I can assure you the members have no knives sharpened. They are all in their sheets. We believe that there are a few things around which we think we need to find synergy. And that is why today you have no program. Simply because there is only just but one item that we need to deal with. Maybe by way of starting, let's introduce ourselves. We'll start with the lead department that brought us all here. Water and Environmental Affairs. I was still struggling. By the way, what is this department called now? I see it's Water and Environmental Affairs. Introduce yourself, and then allow the police to introduce themselves. The Department of Justice here represented. Ah, thank you. And SARS? Ah, all right. Thank you. Yes, we'll introduce ourselves in that order. And then members of parliament will introduce themselves, and then we'll get into the business of the day. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm Nosi Paul Naba, the Director General for the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism, which is split into the Department of Environmental Affairs and separate Department of Tourism. Department of Environmental Affairs falling under the Ministry of Water and Environment. There are two departments under that ministry, it's Water Affairs and then Environmental Affairs. I have with me the DDG, which is responsible for marine...
No, I think DG, let's do this.
Just the chief.
Let them introduce themselves.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Morning, Chair. My name is Monde Mayegi, so I'm the Deputy Director General for Marine and Coastal Management.
Morning, Chair. Salim Mohammed, Chief Financial Officer, Marine and Coastal Management.
I'm Nasser Daniels, I'm the Director, Facility Support Management, and I'm also the Project Management for the Processing, Marketing and Selling of Confiscated Abalone.
I would sincerely request that when we introduce ourselves, let's do it when you're out of slowly. That you must not just be going through the motions, but no. Okay, no. I'm talking for those that you may not know who are still going to introduce themselves. Please.
Morning, Chair. My name is Sonny Boebapela. I'm the Chief Director responsible for regulatory services, which encompasses compliance and enforcement.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Radia Razak, Director of Legal Services for the Branch Marine and Coastal Management in the Department of Environmental Affairs.
Morning, Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Morongwa Susan Leseke, the Chief Director, Monitoring, Control and Surveillance and Enforcement Leg of Marine and Coastal Management. Thank you.
Morning, Chair. I'm Terry Depree. I'm responsible for governance in the office of the Chief Operating Officer.
Morning, Chair. I'm Kosinathi Dana, Director, Monitoring, Control and Surveillance. Thank you.
Morning, Chair. I'm the Chief Financial Officer, Department of Environment and Insurance.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members. My name is Peggy Cele, the South African Police Commissioner. Thanks.
Morning, Chair. I'm Deputy National Commissioner Anwar Dramat, Head of the Directorate for Property Crime.
Morning, Chair. I'm Divisional Commissioner Lamour, the Divisional Commissioner of Visible Policing, South African Police Service.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Assistant Commissioner Lebeya, the Head of Organized Crime, DPCI.
Good morning, Chair. Superintendent Stein, Administrator Support.
Morning, Chair and members. Sharon Gaylor, Director in the Office of the National Commissioner.
Morning, Honourable Chair and Members. Hisham Mohammed. I'm the Provincial Head for the Department of Justice here in the Western Cape. I represent the Director General in the Department of Nationality here today.
Morning, Chair, Person and Honourable Members. I'm Rodney de Kock. I'm the Director of Public Prosecutions in the Western Cape. I've been requested by Advocate Nshe, the Acting National Director of Public Prosecution, to represent the NPA here today.
Morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Lindsay Luther. I'm the Chief Prosecutor within the National Prosecuting Authority, representing Mitchell Strain, under which Armand is called for. Yeah.
Morning, Chair. My name is Paul van der Merwe. I'm a Deputy Director in the Office of the DPP Cape Town.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Leon Loxton, Director of Finance, Department of Justice, Constitution.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Ivan Pillay, Head of Risk and Enforcement in SARS, and I convey apologies from the Commissioner. He's abroad.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Jean Ravelli. I'm the Head of Customs and Border Management in SARS.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Eric Kick, and I'm the Group Executive for Customs Strategy and Policy at the Revenue Service.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Cindy August. I'm the Parliamentary Manager for the South African Revenue Service.
Right. thank you very much. Advocate, can we start with you?
Ishmael Malale, in Scopa.
Deadlifts to Toy, scope up.
Morning, officials. My name is Mark Steele, member of SCOPA.
I'm Roy Ainsley, a member of SCOPA. Chair, at the recent conference, you said that in Uganda, the police actually sit outside a hearing such as this to arrest wrongdoers, not only civil servants, but also members of parliament. And I'm wondering if the, I see the police inside, are they also outside ready to assist?
Yeah, no, we do have other policemen outside. So.
Good morning, I'm Tabela Chimari, member of the committee.
Morning, I'm Sarah Manyena, member of SCOPA.
Mind them, Billy. Let's go.
Trevor Bonham, member of SCOPA.
Hi, good morning. I'm David Mania. I am a member of the Defence and Military Veterans Committee and an alternate member on SCOPA. Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much, Comrade Temakoti. I chair the committee. As well as the Department of Justice and Coastal Development. We did receive apologies from from your seniors, and because of our tight schedule and the fact that it involved a number of other stakeholders who could not shift the date to accommodate your seniors. However, the practice and preference is that if we have a hearing, we would want the responsible people to be here by all means. But because it involved other departments, we felt we would nonetheless go on, and we sincerely hope that you will be able to be of assistance in relation to the issues on the table. Let me once again thank you for having made time to be here with us. It's always a great pleasure to have you here with us. May I indicate that having the other departments here with us, we are actually completing a process that we started some time ago with the Department of Water and Environmental Affairs in relation to the administration, the management processes around confiscated abalone. During our hearing with the department, there were a whole range of issues that we discussed around what happens when abalones are confiscated, and the whole question of prevention of poaching, as well as the processes once suspects are apprehended. And part of what we got, which made us to call for this hearing, was the realization that in the fight against poaching, the Department of Water and Environmental Affairs is not the only actor, that other departments are also part of that chain, and that unless all the stakeholders play their role effectively, the war against poaching might not be won. And it was quite alarming to us that to a large extent, because of the inability to minimize or eliminate poaching, the commercial viability of the abalone industry has been put in doubt. And the fact that the department cannot vouch that all the areas that have this species are actually being effectively protected or guarded. So which means there are certain areas where poachers would literally have it their way. And the question became, but what is the role of everybody who is concerned and is supposed to make a contribution? And so we felt, let us have this meeting so that we can from our side be clear in terms of what efforts does each one of us put, and so that we could also, from our side, indicate how we hope we should be able to close those gaps. Now, I see, Commissioner Bene, that you sent us a document this morning on abalone. But what we're going to do, very, very unorthodox for our committee, would want to hear from the police, from the Department of Justice, or the NPA, as well as SARS, what your contributions are in fighting against the scourge of abalone poaching, and maybe where do you see the gaps at a practical level or from a legal point of view. Just a brief 5 minutes presentation, and then members can then ask whatever questions they have. So I said it's an unusual one for us. That is why we want to afford you the opportunity to tell us from your side. This is what we do. These are the challenges that we're facing, and then we can take it up from there. I'll start with the police, Commissioner.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair. We thought you would start alphabetical, but fine, here we are. because time is very short, without explaining, with the exception that one has been told that huge monies are involved in this business, either legally or illegally. So that's why it's important and brings a lot of impact, big impact, in sabotaging our economy. But I will immediately ask Assistant Commissioner Daniel to take us through the document in a summarized way, as you said, that we have a very short time. Commissioner.
Thank you, Chair. I will first indicate that our policy of abalone is guided by the laws which has been approved by Parliament. Firstly, abalone is listed on Appendix 3 of the Convention on International Trade on Endangered Species, Wild Fauna and Flora, the sites. The nature of the offenses that we investigate or police are mostly involving the catching of undersized abalone, the harvesting without permit and exceeding the quota. Mostly abalone is harvested from the Eastern Cape, the Western Cape and Northern Cape. It is transported by road to Howden Province, where the cargo will be dried, packed and exported. As far as 2000, we were able to arrest
Assistant Commissioner, if I got it right, if we follow that route, in 5 minutes we will not have finished making a presentation. So if you could just sum it up, where are we, what is it that the police are doing, where do you find the gaps? Just give us a picture of the role that you're playing in so far as this aspect of criminality is concerned.
The role that we play is the prevention part of this commodity. Our crime prevention, which involves every visible police official in patrol, is expected to be assisting in the prevention thereof. Whenever they come across criminals either doing illegal harvesting, they will do the arrest and confiscate the commodity. After confiscation, the investigators will take over, which then become part of the organized crime, as this is part of the national priority offense. With regard to the investigation itself, it will continue so that we take the criminal to a court. Once we have identified a criminal grouping which is involved in promoting the fishing of this and exporting, we do it in a form of registering an organized crime project. We already have got a current running organized crime project that we have identified a number of groupings. And then once this group, the investigation has been finalized, they will be arrested and taken through the court. So the abalone itself, after confiscation, we keep it at various localities where, after the registration into the SAPS 13, will be taken to the MCM for a further disposal. That, I will say, in short, is how we do we deal with policy. Thanks, Chair.
Mr. Commissioner, anything to be added?
Yes, Chairperson, maybe Steve Lamour will just in short in prevention side.
Chair, thanks. We institute coastal patrols in all the three provinces identified. We strengthen with cooperation with MCM and also the SA Navy. That is where we started on sea, firstly with the prevention side. Then on your local, your station side, we also inform members on a continuous basis about crime prevention operations and also the identification of abalone. The control of abalone after confiscation, that is the responsibility of detectives, and we will not dwell into that. But the main issue is here. The coastal patrol has been strengthened from Richards Bay up to Alexander Bay for the purpose of catching these people on at sea already. We bought already additional equipment for the people at the seaboard line unit, and that is where we do our prevention very, very successfully. Thanks.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just one thing I would say, maybe from our side, we would love to speak with the Department of Environmental Affairs and to take matters forward. What happens after we have handed over, have finished as an exhibit, to understand what happened beyond the time we have gone to court, we have taken back these abalones back to them for safekeeping, and then just to discuss what happens from there on. But it could be the matter of this bilateral between ourselves and them. Thanks.
Right, thank you very much. Justice or NPA?
Thank you very much, Jay. Just very briefly, the role of the Department of Justice in Constitutional Development and its obligations with regard to the other department, in particular the Department of Environment Affairs and Tourism, is to, of course, provide legal and other auxiliary support to matters that arises out of any operation relating to illegal poaching that arrives eventually at the court case. So our role is to not only to monitor these cases, but also to dispose of it as fast as possible with the cooperation of our colleagues. In this regard, just briefly, we could assist the Department of Environment Affairs through the Marine and Coastal Management, CMC, in reporting of the status of the court cases related to confiscated evidence. Secondly, we also facilitate the sentencing and fine options through our NPA with regard to confiscated evidence-related cases and other related issues. Thirdly, as far as infrastructure and auxiliary service is concerned, once a person or one syndicate has been found guilty and a court gives its sentence, judgment in the sentence, there are other processes that follow where there's cooperation between us. And that relates to the, for example, if there's a fine on behalf of the Department of Justice, we are able to assist the Marine and Living Resources Fund by, on a monthly basis, reconciling those fines that are paid in and ensure that the full particulars of the accused, relevant case number, and amount paid are forwarded to the Marine Living Resources Fund. That's more on the financial side that we ensure. In fact, we have done that, and we monitor that constantly. Lastly, other areas, of course, is to ensure that there is a constant monitoring and servicing at the strategic leadership level in the province to ensure that our memorandum of understanding between the two respective departments is given effect to, and, of course, monitoring conviction rates, as well as if there's any case withdrawals and status of case. Those are largely the areas. Of course, we do this through our branches, and in particular the NPA will speak for themselves with regard to that particular operation, as well as we also are the conduit between any organ of state, such as our colleagues, and the judiciary itself. As you know, the judiciary is independent, and the Department of Justice is that conduit if there's any liaison or facilitation needed. And to that effect, of course, there's, I would like to know, indicate there is that understanding. Thank you, Chair.
Is there anything NPA would want to add?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chairperson, since about 2003, the NPA has developed a very good relationship with MCM in respect of the investigation, both the investigation and the prosecution of cases in relation to the poaching of abalone. During that early period, we developed a dedicated capacity where two prosecutors were seconded to the MPA to oversee the management of these cases in Hermanus, particularly in Hermanus Court, but also in respect of other cases that may be on the court rolls in other courts in the province. During that process, we developed particular approaches and strategies in terms of how we want to deal with the prosecution of those cases. And we felt it was important to ensure that there is a capacity built within the prosecution service, that prosecutors are skilled in order to be able to prosecute cases emanating from environmental legislation. And so for that purpose, a guideline was produced in terms of how these cases should be prosecuted. Flowing from the guideline, we developed training programs, and we then also did a lot of training with both prosecutors and investigators over the years in terms of how these cases are to be investigated and prosecuted. In the early years, in 2003, the MPA was instrumental in the creation of the Environmental Court in Hermanus. That court was a regional court in which all the abalone cases were taken and prosecuted in those courts. We also created a further capacity within the Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions, where the cases of environmental crime generally, because poaching of abalone is one aspect of environmental crime, could be monitored, and that we could coordinate our attempts to ensure that there's a proper prosecution of these matters. So within my office, we created a capacity to ensure that the cases, environmental cases, receive the necessary attention at our level. Furthermore, over the last few years, we also created a capacity where we have dedicated prosecutors who work very closely with the South African Police Services and other investigative agencies in respect of organized crime. And the poaching of abalone being one aspect of organized crime, the cases which have an organized crime element to it, those prosecutors, so advocates within the DPP's office, will be assigned to work very closely with the SAPs, largely, in terms of the investigation and the prosecution of those cases. Some of the challenges that we currently have experienced in terms of this issue, the first is that the environmental court that had been created in Hermanus was subsequently closed. I think it was in around about 2007. The cases that was prosecuted in that particular court, which was a regional court, is now prosecuted in the district court in Hermanus. We do have dedicated prosecutors who still give attention to those cases, but one of the challenges that have come to light is that the court role is quite overburdened. And so that is a challenge that we're dealing with the judiciary in terms of how do we manage the many, many cases on the court role in the district court in Hermanus. That is currently work in progress, and it will mean that there will have to be various meetings with the judiciary to ensure
that we can better manage the cases on the four trials. And then I think that the other aspect that is a challenge is that we need to review the strategies that we currently have in place in terms of how we want to deal with environmental crime broadly. And so within the MPA, there is a debate that we need to create a capacity in all our respective offices throughout the country, in the DPP's offices, to be able to give environmental crime the necessary attention. And so that is also an ongoing work in progress. But the key thing is partnerships. I think that partnerships with all the various agencies, including MCM, in the areas that they operate. And for us in the MPA, that is really what it's about. It's ensuring that the partnerships work. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Sir?
Thank you, Chair. The way we organize in SARS in the customs area, there are customs officers at the points of entry and exit. Usually, we pay more attention to goods coming into the country. That's been so for some time because of the revenue emphasis. Increasingly, recently, we're looking at export goods. But when there is a tip-off or there's an intelligence warning, we would then search the goods going out. We then, 12, 18 months ago, we created a customs border control unit, which is paramilitary, since we're dealing with organized crime. And they are now some of our main border posts. It's also our intention to begin to get some sniffer dogs that can be trained to sniff abalone. On the enforcement and risk side, we've created some very small research desk so that we can get some specialization in this area. We do some investigation, and we do this together with SAPS, and we do some tax audits of people who we suspect to be involved in abalone smuggling. The cases that we work on together with police, we hand over to the National Prosecuting Authority Special Tax Unit for prosecution. Presently, we have two cases registered with the South African Police and the NPA in the Western Cape. Recently, this year, from March to now, we have done a number of searches, not at the border post, but on suspects. We've recovered about 25 kilograms of abalone in that in this period. The challenges, Chair, very briefly, I think there are five, the way we see it. The one is, of course, that this is organized crime, and much of SARS is civilian.
Can you talk closer to the mic?
This is an organized crime matter, and much of SARS is a civilian organization. So, and furthermore, there must be a lot of intelligence on this in order to succeed in dealing with this matter. I think the second challenge is to understand this as a business. There's a demand, there's supply, there's a processing going on, there's storage. There's a price on the street. I think if we understand this as a business, then we should try to work out how we can disturb the business. The other point is that I think we generally try to solve problems through enforcement, and enforcement happens when something wrong has already taken place. I think there should be a greater emphasis upfront in the value chain to improve the control. And perhaps lastly, I think we are working in our individual organizations. I'm sure we're trying to do our best. But even the best would not be good enough if we don't manage this as one system. I'm not talking about one structure. But we've got to get an alignment of the accountabilities and what we're trying to achieve across all the organizations involved in this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I would want to hand over to members. You will come in as and when we move on. Comrade Roy, Comrade Mbili, wow. All right, Comrade Roy, Comrade Mbili, and then Memange.
Chair, I think I want to know mainly from the police side, but also possibly from the other entities represented. What level of priority is accorded abalone poaching? When the DG briefed us, what was it, about 10 days ago, she said it was her wish that abalone poaching be declared a very high priority. Now, and she was waiting for responses from the police, from the MPA, as to the classification of abalone poaching. Perhaps if the police could respond as to what level of priority they've accorded abalone poaching, because in the light of the fact that we've established a link between abalone poaching and organized crime, land racks, tick, other drugs, international drug syndicates, lost revenue to the country running into millions of rands, let alone the lost livelihood to thousands of fisher people affected by the ban and by poaching of abalone, I would have thought that this would be a very high priority in everybody's classification. I'm not even sure what is meant and what is the effect of declaring something a high priority. But maybe if I could start there.
All right. Commissioner.
Well, generally, the organized crime is a priority of the country, hence the creation of the Hawks. But Deputy Commissioner Thomas is here to see if he can take us through. But as far as I understand, we haven't classified within the organized crime which should be the priority, except that organized crime is a priority. There are quite several of them, triple drug movement, smuggling, including this one and other poachings and all that. Maybe it would be that environmental affairs, we take those things to bilaterals if we can. But generally, the organized crime is priority as a whole.
All right, maybe let's hear the head of the Hawk in terms of specific instance of abalone.
Thank you, Chair. As the Commissioner indicated, that the organized crime is the priority, abalone smuggling is amongst those priorities that we're investigating. To that effect, in the presentation, it's included that, in fact, we do have projects that is registered on the specific crime threat. So it is amongst our priorities for investigation.
All right. Okay. Could we...
Thank you, Chair. I'm happy to hear, Chair, that this is a priority in as far as the police is concerned. But the confusion, Chair, arises from the fact that out of the presentation that we just heard, seems to me there is no clear policy framework from all the stakeholders. Because one of the reasons we are having this hearing today was a presentation or an admission, if you like, from the department that there's a lack of coordination. And it's not surprising, Chair, because none of the presenters from the police, justice, SARS, NPA spoke about that lack of policy, lack of coordination. In fact, one can safely say, Chair, that there is no
clear policy. There is no service level agreement within all the stakeholders. And I'm seated here, then how then are we going to tackle this head on in the absence of this major, there's no service level agreement, there's no policy framework, there's no coordination. If somebody can just make me understand, if we are to believe, Chair, that this is a priority or is an organized crime, and it's supposed to be a priority. Thanks, sir.
Are we having a dispute around the fact that there is need for greater coordination and synergy? I want to take from what the presentation from SARS. I think when they said we need to manage this as one system, I think in a sentence they were actually alluding to the fact that there are gaps in terms of coordination. It might as well be that we all, from what different sectors, view the poaching of abalone in the context of organized crime as a priority. I think NPA also spoke about developing capacity, having dedicated prosecutors, but it is something they do there on their own. It is not interlinked. And I think that is basically why we had to call this meeting, because we realized that it's like we are working parallel to each other. Do you want to make an input on that, ma'am?
Chair, maybe before she does, you know, it's just to clarify the point. We are not prosecutors here. I think what we want to see going forward is the interest from our side or from everybody involved, that how are we going to correct this going forward. We are not prosecuting anybody. We are not saying who is wrong here. We are not. That is not what we are doing. We want to hear that how are we going to correct this moving forward, if I can just clarify the point.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I think we also did accept that there are gaps in respect of coordination and uniform approach across the various organs of state in dealing with the issue of abalone. Our understanding was that for it to be afforded the level of priority that is desired, there would have to be a need for an amendment of the Criminal Procedure Act in terms of Part 2 or Part 3 in respect of the schedules, and they refer to that as Schedule 2 in terms of the Criminal Law Amendment Act. We requested that, and our minister wrote to the Minister of Justice last year to state this request, and I think we were then in a process of engaging further at an official level in terms of making sure that that amendment is effected in order to afford this a priority listing, because ourselves also in environment, we've been pumping resources in this area, and there is so much that we can do, and I guess also from their side, there is so much they can do with the resources that they have if it is not necessarily indicated to be on the highest level of priority in terms of the priority crime list in the country. And then lastly, I think the other issue that was quite impeding our ability to do more work uniformly across the board is this voluntary nature of our agreements. We have some memorandum of agreement. There is no real way of enforcing them, and those agreements are based on the laws that govern each of the departments, because we cannot necessarily have a uniform policy. That's probably what we were not certain about when we were getting the finding from the Auditor General, because I, as an accounting officer in environment, does not have a jurisdiction over the other department. Neither does justice have a jurisdiction over the work of our officials that are involved in this area. So we needed a high level, I guess, a high level framework from the Honourable Member's comment, and I would think that high level framework would have to arrive on the basis of a decision that's made either at cabinet level or at a level where there can be an amendment also to the schedules that give guide the, I think, the law enforcement agencies in this regard, because they indicated on several occasions what their limitations are. Over and above that, I think the areas which we have to continue working on, skills development, this is a highly technical area. Environmental crimes are not quite easily understood, and we have a process broadly of dealing with environmental crimes. Our minister met with the Minister of Justice first week of September to look at reopening the environmental courts. And I think if that decision happens and that work happens, it is going to begin to help us honorable members to unblock some of the gaps that exist currently.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Chairperson, some of the things that I wanted to be clarified on already, she has done that, especially the issue of policies that are not the same because they are not from the same department. And then the other thing that I wanted to find out from staff, the gentleman said, we only search when there is a warning. I'm a little bit worried about it, that when there is a warning, it means that if you people are not warned, you won't be able to go out and search. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm not sure of the numbers, I'll ask my colleague, but there are literally millions of transactions per year. It's not possible except to cover 3 or 4% of the containers or vehicles or persons. So we rely on a risk pinpointing system. And so if there's an indication of risk, we will search it. I think we must remember that we always got to keep the balance too between facilitating trade and between detecting wrongdoing. I think there is a final point, and maybe I'm going into too much of detail when I say this, but one of our difficulties that we experience is that these are refrigerated goods. They are problematic to inspect, but we do inspect them. But because we don't have those facilities ourselves, it's generally a problem with goods like fish, etc. So, to sum it up, we can only cover a percentage. Then the question is, how good is our risk identification? And that is a continuous process. You get a tip-off or you identify the risk, you search it. If you're not successful, you know, and you go back and you try to find out why you're not successful, and you continuously try to improve the system. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Steve.
Thank you, Chairperson. We've just heard the DG of Environmental Affairs making a plea for the re-establishment of the environmental courts. What we haven't heard, though, is an admission from the Department of Justice that they made a serious mistake when they moved the environmental court in Sumanis from a regional into a district-level function. And I'd like them to please put on record that they are now committed to reopening that environmental court with the necessary facilities and to provide it with the necessary support staff to actually make it an effective court in the way forward, because that we have not heard from them to date.
Yeah, or maybe can we hear, because I thought I think NPA spoke to it in person. I thought you would have elaborated on it, because our understanding is that those courts had a high conviction rate, around 8%, and then they were closed. Why were they closed? And are we when are we likely to see them reopened?
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Perhaps I should just sketch a perspective without going to the detail of the circumstances. It can hardly be seen, of course, as far as the judiciary was concerned, in the interest of justice, if the provision of the Marine Living Resource Act is contravened, that all matters in the province, there are other areas such as the West Coast, Saldanha area, up to Cape Point, Simon's Town, that we bring hardship to the witnesses at the time from those areas to one location, happened to be in Hermanus. Mm-hmm. At that time, the idea was that why should a witness, in particular the court users, where matters related to abalone, for example, or environmental crime, should they travel all the way to Hermanus? Access to justice, would dictate that any person should be tried or should be able to access a court nearest in that jurisdiction where they live, preferably. Particularly when the state needs those witnesses. So the idea was to avoid people from Saldanha having to travel and all the logistical challenges that goes with that, all the way to Hermanus.
Then? Was that the only reason?
No, there's several.
Yeah, let's give us the major one, because then we should not dwell on one logistical consideration.
Of course. The other issues, of course, is the jurisdiction. At that time, we had a regional court jurisdiction at Hermanus Court, in particular, when we were all part of launching it in 2003. It later transpired that 70% of the matters where it did not relate to organized crime, in particular, those matters were ordinary matters for which the panel jurisdiction of the regional court was not the necessary. Again, relating to resources, having to deploy regional court magistrates. Thirdly, that was from the judiciary, the response from the judiciary or recommendation to the minister at that time. With regard to the prosecutions, they also proposed a new approach where every court, and that's not all the courts in the Western Cape, there are about 55 courts, but those courts where these matters are transparent and where these matters are put on the court roll, there's about 4 or 5, so those courts should be given capacity through the prosecution so that we can handle...
Essentially, you're saying the environmental court concept was not well thought out.
Well, at that time, yes. What we have said is that the success of the court role itself in conviction speaks for itself. But the idea is, together with other challenges that goes with the logistics.
But if you had the high conviction rate, was that not sufficient reason to keep it going?
No, Chair, the court is functioning, just that the operation has changed. There are matters on the court roll now, in the cock referred to earlier, the court roll is quite high. There's about just over 1,000 matters on the court roll, but all those matters are not related to environmental crime or abalone poaching. It's about 178 matters that's there. The success reached there is as a result of a coordinated effort in terms of deploying resources in an integrated manner, as the member referred to earlier.
All right.
That is one point here. Right. Of course, the idea is also to do such points in other different areas. But my colleague has indicated there has been an approach to our ministry, and of course, those discussions will reach its conclusion, and it's for us to execute in particular.
But I mean, the reasons that you had given, well, I've had three reasons: accessibility, questions of jurisdiction, the question of resources. Those will remain there, and I think what strikes me is like the decision was taken on environmental costs, implemented, and only in the course of implementation were key factors like accessibility, resources, jurisdiction considered, which will be a reflection of very bad planning. Now, when that court was closed, was there a report written down? Was there a report written about that experiment?
Che, the process in terms of the manner in which the operation was changed, is documented. Of course, it derived also from a policy decision in the department and at the ministerial level that we would that not all courts can government afford to be specialized. That we've got to look how best we can optimally utilize the resources. So those processes happened in 2007, 2008, and that is documented here.
I think there is a report.
There isn't a formal report, but the processes in the reasons that you requested are documented, and those documents are available.
So there is no formal report?
No.
Around that experiment?
No.
Okay. Honorable Singh?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, having listened to all the different agencies here, I mean, there's no gainsaying that. Firstly, there's been no holistic approach in dealing with the whole question of abalone poaching. And I think it's a clear admission by everybody. Secondly, my view is that this poaching has not been considered a national priority. It's written on paper, but that's where it has remained. Thirdly, there's no doubt that the different agencies and representatives that are here have been talking past each other and not with each other. But having said that, that has happened in the past, and hopefully this coming together here today will charter a way forward in dealing with this. And I think, Chairperson, my view is that before the representatives of the various organizations leave here today, we need a commitment that there will be something like a joint action committee put together with a convener appointed today from amongst them who will deal with issues like the Director General has said, the legislation, the existing legislation, what needs to be amended, more teeth needs to be given, would deal with outstanding court cases, because having heard the representative from the NPA, and I think we laud the fact that in 2003 there seemed to be a good relationship. But if one looks at the Auditor General's report, I mean, that's not what we read, because there are a number of court cases still outstanding from 2000 right up to 2004. So it doesn't say to us that there has been, this relationship has meant something. It led to people being prosecuted. So it's, I mean, almost 10 years down the line, and there are still outstanding court cases. And I suppose this Joint Action Committee needs to deal with the modus operandi. Because whilst we don't have this, I mean, the abalone poachers are continuing unabated, and I say this in inverted commas, and it's not, like Comrade Ainsley said, it's not only about a marine resource, but it's linked to other contraband, it's linked to drugs, it's linked to other countries. So it's a serious matter, and we hope that they, you know, we can get that kind of commitment. And I think the last area for our committee, Chairperson, is to deal with the financial losses. And that's something that the department's got to deal with us about as a public accounts committee. And it's not the responsibility of the other colleagues. So, but I think this has been an extremely useful exercise that everybody has come together. But I think there's one component missing here, and that's, I know SAPs have their own intelligence, but there's also intelligence, as we know it, the bigger intelligence. And maybe we need to get some kind of report from them, because this is also linked to international smuggling. Get some kind of a report from them of what their findings are in this regard. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Mania?
Thank you, Chair. I was pleased that the Divisional Commissioner mentioned Coastal Patrol. And I'd like to direct my question not only to the Police Department, but also to the Water Affairs and Environmental Department. Now, my working hypothesis is that the South African Navy, the South African Police Service, and Marine and Coastal Management do not have sufficient resources to effectively patrol the coastline of South Africa. That's my hypothesis. There are not enough platforms. In many cases, they are the wrong platforms. Frigates cannot do inshore patrol. And I would suggest in this respect, all three departments are probably underfunded. And so my question to both departments is, first, do you agree with my working hypothesis? Second, what platforms do you have available for coastal patrol? Three, how many of those platforms are deployed, for example, today? And do you think that they are adequate to achieve the objective of effectively patrolling our coast? Thank you.
Thank you. Can we get a response from the police?
Well, thanks. As Chairperson, Divisional Commissioner, but in terms of adequate resources, is a very broader question than today and then here. If we talk about adequate resources, if Chair could say to us, give me the list of those things, this will be amongst them. But what do we do out of what we have, Commissioner Amor?
Chair, thanks. I think the National Commissioner explained the issue about resources, but I need to say that we are busy building the different seaboarded units currently, the Coastal Patrol. So resources will come as it goes. It's no use we can throw a lot of resources. There's no proper development of our members, and that we are currently busy with that process at this point in time. And also the resources for the different areas from Richards Bay to Alexander Bay. We must understand that we are sitting with two types of deployment on the coastline. One, the ports of entry, where they only patrol the specific part of the ports of entry. Secondly, it's where we talk about between ports of entry where the seaboard line, the coastal patrol units come into play. And currently the resources, yes, we are busy developing more and more resources. We want more resources for that specific reason. And if the committee wants us to give the list of resources, we will be able to supply that list. I don't have it with me, but we will be able to do that. But on a day-to-day basis, yes, there are resources deployed. And yes, we can do with more platforms and also more specific units along the coastline. And that we're also busy in the development phase currently. Thanks, Chair.
I would agree with the hypothesis because our coastline, we have 3,000 kilometers of the coastline, and with an exclusive economic zone, which is the EEZ, 200 nautical miles, and we only have at least more or less around seven people, one person per 17 kilometers on average. Ideally, we should be talking about at least 1 kilometer per person, if we're talking about on-land patrol on as an average. But we will never probably get those kinds of resources. At the same time, we have, the government has given us money to put in some of the technical resources. We've got a number of patrol vessels, which now currently we use, but also there in terms of running costs, because of fuel costs and so on, we are unable to deploy them effectively. Over and above that, we have begun to invest in electronic equipment, cameras, and possibly other platforms that could really at least assist us beyond human abilities in respect of carrying out this function. And I think they could be, we were hoping that we would have a more advanced electronic system, whether it's based on sound or waves, that can give us a detect what is at sea 24 hours of the day, and that information coming and being transmitted in a operations room for analysis, and therefore we would have limited human capacity to contend with in respect of the physical human beings that we have put in place. So I think maybe we can use the existing resources much better, but for now we also have limited resources, and we can do more with more platforms, but also more improvements in what we have in existing.
Thank you. Honorable Detroit.
If I could before.
No, just a minute. Let me give Honorable Detroit, and then Hosika Kwa Advocate, and then Comrade Bono.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chairman. I have two or three questions here directed at different people, if you will allow me, it's my turn.
The first I want to say is that the answer from the Deputy Commissioner was most unsatisfactory. He did not answer the question. He could not give a number of ships or boats or platforms as you know it. He went around that question and around the hypothesis like an eel in the water, really. And here, for instance, is a from the burger, clearly shows that the public knows more about what's going on in the poaching. Now, I have not heard the word here task team at all. In 3 years, there's been no task team being developed between the departments, and the CMC made 50 million, if I'm correctly, in 1 year, one of these years on my graft. And I don't know how that money has been employed, but nobody talks about the task team. Then another thing that bothers me is that nobody says who took the decision to close that court. When I know that it's a problem, I understand what the people from justice said about it. But maybe you could have a traveling judge. Take the judge to where it should be. Then you have again the idea of a task team within that court system, which could be one part of the bigger task team. But nobody comes forward with this, and we have highly paid, very intelligent people here, and nobody seems to be able to work together or find the time to plan together. I think that is what bothers me from an oversight point of view. The other thing that bothers me is last time when I was here, we specifically asked the departments to give us some information before we come back again. Now, a statement was made, I think the gentleman here, the CFO, maybe another person, had said that, okay, we do not have, they do not have policies in place, but they've got protocols. I specifically asked that if those protocols, that statement that was made, that there was protocols that's now in place, how do you operate together? I asked to bring the copies of those protocols and the date it was signed between the people. It is not here. So I want to know if this is another case where people are telling us things that is not true. That's the one thing I want to know. And then the other list of questions I had, and it's not in front of us here, and I want people to take the time when they answer me on this, all this, I hope they may take notes, is that I asked them to come and tell us how many boats were confiscated, how many wetsuits were confiscated, how many vehicles were confiscated, how many people arrested and people prosecuted. That's just the beginning. So I hope I get another chance today, because we're getting from certain areas no answers and from other areas unsatisfactory answers. Thank you.
All right. If you're short, you definitely have another shot. Because we do have some element of time constraints. I think, Honorable Detroit, the department did submit to me two very thick files. And so I suppose the information that we requested should be in those files. And I had to personally go through those files first before I can say they must be copied to members. That is the one part. I think the other part of your question in terms of steps from the previous question, I think, yes, you're right, that was not answered. If I can go back to the police and find out if they are able to give us specific answers in terms of how many vessels do they have patrolling and that.
Yes, Chair, I think the answer was given could not have been satisfying to say if those list of things are needed, they can be at the later stage submitted as they are. I think that's how the question was answered.
All right. Okay.
Chairman, can we take it then that there's no ships or boats? A ship is something that's a bit bigger, but there's no boats or patrol boats or any of that kind that can be employed. I mean, these people you can go into the water a short way in, and then you can swim in and bring the stuff out. I mean, we've all been sport divers when we were younger, when the stuff was plenty and there was no laws on it. But once you go in where these people are taking it off the reefs inside, deep inside the water.
Are you saying that you used to poach?
No. No, that was 30 years ago. I was not watching 30 years ago. And we had size, I was never convicted anywhere in court, so I know what I'm talking about.
So you used to poach.
Okay. Of course, poaching that. The fact is, we know these things are out on the reefs,
okay,
and you need a boat to get there.
No.
And we don't have boats. Just tell us, Commissioner, we don't have boats.
I think the point you're making is that in terms of preparation for coming here, and in terms of specific information related, detailed information related to the police work around Avalon, it is not here. It was supposed to be here because of the issue of Avalon. So all police information around Avalon, they should have had. But I think the point I'm getting is that they can submit that those details to us in writing, and which I think let's commit you, Commissioner, to sending us those details post this meeting.
It's no problem doing that. The things that both I think can be given, how many they are. The answer was to give all the details of platforms and equipment and money involved, but to give boats how many, we do have boats.
No, that's fine.
Point of order, Chair.
Just a minute.
Point of order, Chair.
Yeah.
You have to allow me, point of order, Chair.
Yeah, I'll allow you. So, Commissioner, let's have those submitted to us post this meeting.
Thank you.
Sure.
Point of order, Chair. I will ask the Chair to assist us to separate the work of SCOPA in this hearing and the portfolio committee. And we're not going to allow it because we are not a portfolio committee of environmental affairs. You cannot subject officials to issues that is supposed to be discussed or alluded to at a portfolio committee meeting on SCOPA, unless if we don't understand our role as SCOPA here. And some of the question here, I'm afraid, they don't belong to this platform. And we are not going to allow it. And that's if you want to suggest that to a serious conflict of interest here. Because we are dealing with SCOPA members, unless if members want to go back to a workshop and understand what is the role of SCOPA in this particular area, because we cannot allow to handle matters. Because I suppose some of these things should have been asked at the platform. There's a platform and the members are allowed to, if they wanted to do it, to attend the portfolio committee on environmental affairs, not yet.
All right. Now, let me give Comrade Tomejan and then the advocate, and then Comrade Bolhom, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the information that we have received from all the agencies here, it suffices to say, indeed, there's a need to have a coordinated effort of dealing with this particular challenge. And then what pleases me much, Chairperson, is all the agency before us here today, they have acknowledged that there is a fragmented way of dealing with this particular challenge. And they do know of the challenges that are before themselves, but the challenges, they were not coordinated. I thought it was also an oversight for us for not inviting relevant portfolio committees to come and sit here, so that they would then sit with the issues here on to make sure that the issues that have been raised and agreed upon will then be followed up in the respective portfolio committees. Having said that, Chairperson, I would want to suggest that we have said there is a need to have a coordinated form of, way forward that will then include every agency, amongst other, including those that are not here, like the intelligence. I'm sure you have seen the importance of, bringing the intelligence on board, so that they go and then work on a better way that will make sure that they minimize and
become above the challenges that are facing us in relation to this abandon. But I wanted us also, Chair, the reason why I'm saying the issue of not inviting the portfolio committees in here, it would then require us also to have a report of this particular meeting to be sent to the respective portfolio committees to inform them of the issues that we have identified here again today. So that amongst other decisions that require to be taken are not necessarily of official, you know, kind of decision. They would need and require a political, you know, decision, which we may not, sitting as COPA here alone, going to Parliament, make a presentation without, you know, referring this particular issue to the portfolio committee. We might not achieve what we intended to achieve. I would suggest that we then communicate with the respective portfolio committees that have got an interest on the issues that we are dealing with here today. Thanks, Comrade.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think some of the points that you're raising basically choose off the engagement. The reason why we called this hearing was because we had noted that there is this fragmented approach, and the presentation thus far has actually confirmed that. And I think above everything else, what we want to see is an integrated way of dealing with this problem. And there can't be anything more than just that. But to talk to the other issue, comrade, no, we invited all the portfolio committees, justice, police, environmental affairs, they have been invited. Why they're not here, I cannot tell, except for environmental affairs. I know they are in a video conference with their counterparts from the UK, the portfolio committee. That's why they're not here. Otherwise, as diligently as always, we've invited all of them. Yes, Advocate?
I've been listening to the reports that were being tabled by the stakeholders here. And I think a few days ago, also the SAPS, if I'm correct, just published a magazine to parliamentarians. Just to close over, if you don't have much time to read. I think at page 33, you have even mentioned...
Can you talk to the mic?
That at Simon's Town in Cape Town, there are new boats, for example, for wildland patrol. I mean, before I start asking statistics, at least I must interact the basics that I read every day as a member of parliament. So I want to ask statistics now. I think the most crucial issue emerging here is for us to say there must be sustained coordination amongst the stakeholders to employ these limited available resources to tackle poaching of abalone. I think that is key. I do not think that my little intelligence would enable me now to extract a sudden decision to introduce courts, for instance, here. I don't think it's that watchful to engage critically, to interrogate the reasons why and so on. Maybe that may need the stakeholders to engage at that level. What I want to support is what Comrade Swin addressed here, that maybe there must be a joint tasking amongst the stakeholders to really interrogate all the issues that emanated from this report advanced by our colleagues from the department, so that they then produce something very substantive that will bring to us to say, these are the specific proposals that we would like to employ in order to really deal with the issue of abalone that afflicts our economy. I think that is maybe a substantive thing that Parliament can suggest than being dramatic, because there are these cameras here. So
all right. Okay.
I think that's crucial.
All right. Okay. Let me give Comrade Bono, and then I'll pose a question to us for a change.
Comrade Chair, you know, I really enjoy the frankness and the honesty that's coming across. People are open about their shortcomings and the resource and what they can do and can't do. And I think that's important for us to know that they understand their weaknesses. I did a lot of reading on the Avalon issue, and we deal with corruption and crooks. But in all the reading I've been through, I haven't come across any statement saying that files were missing. And that's unusual. I just want to know, has the enemy files missing?
No. That's true. Let me bail them out on that question, comrade. Relevant and correct as the question is, because it has a bearing on whether poachers have an incentive to go out knowing that dockets can, files can get lost. I think, however, our main thrust and focus was the various stakeholders involved. To what extent are they coordinating their efforts? That's why I was saying I want to pose a question to you, comrades, if indeed there are still substantive issues around which we need clarity before we can say we have heard you and we can therefore make an input in terms of what we think needs to happen. I just want to check that. I see there are three hands. I'll start with my friend there at the back, then Honorable Detroit, and then Max T.
Thank you, Chair. Just by way of an opening remark, I find it astounding that the Commissioner of Police and his colleague, the Divisional Commissioner, cannot tell this committee how many platforms they have available on any one day to do coastal patrol. But let me move on from that. Now, the Department of Environmental Affairs and Water Affairs has conceded and agreed with my hypothesis that the South African Navy, the South African Police Service, and Marine and Coastal Management do not have the resources or the capacity to effectively patrol our 3,000 kilometers of coastline. Now, my question to the Commissioner and to the Divisional Commissioner in the first instance was, do you agree with that hypothesis, yes or no? And so I would like an answer to that question. Do you agree with my working hypothesis that the South African Navy, the South African Police Service, and the Marine and Coastal Management Department do not have the resources or the capacity to effectively patrol the coastline of South Africa? This is a very, very important question, and we must have an answer.
All right. You were asking that question on our behalf. So it's our question.
And it's a yes or no.
Commissioner?
There will be definitely no yes or no. I'm clear on that one. There will be no yes or no. Unless you want to tell us that we must be fools, come here and say what you tell us to say. There shall be no so.
All right.
We did answer the question. The hypothesis says we have no adequate resources. The answer was, there is no adequate resources across the government. So we cannot then say we do on this one. I thought that question will sink to some of us to understand the matters of governance. We do not adequate. I thought that's how I answered the question. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. The answer is yes. Honorable Detroit.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. you would recall that at our conference, closing remarks were that in the end the ministers are asking money from Parliament, and they must in the end account to us or to Parliament of what they do with the money. Now, this is also what they do with the management of this problem. Now, I am of the opinion
I want them to agree with me or not agree with me that if the ministers don't play along with this, you are going to be powerless to do anything about the task team, to get your resources, and to solve this problem. Somebody's got to be held accountable for this. We have lost money. We've seen that. We're not going to delve into that again. We've dealt with that the last time. We have lost money already. And as the Director General has said, this resource has already been commercially extinct. So it's not wiped out, extinct. So it can't get to the numbers again from its own resources to become commercially viable in futures. We have already in the past 10 years, whatever, wiped out this resource. Now, somebody's got to take responsibility for that. And I surmise that our business at Skopa doesn't stop here with these people in front of us. These are the director generals and the commissioners and the people on the top of their departments, and they have problems. My question to them is, is there anything you can do without your ministers playing ball?
No. Let's hold it. Like you, Honorable Detroit, English is the language I had to learn to speak. And I was unfortunate to teach it as a teacher. I would imagine that what you wanted to find out was whether there's much the officials can do without the support of the ministers, not your ministers. It might not be that very palatable. And I do think, without really having to go to each department to respond, it is evident, self-evident, that the officials are there to ensure that the political head, the minister, is able to discharge of his political commitments in relation to that department. So the principle that whatever we're discussing and resolving upon here will also need political backing and political involvement. I'm taking it to be self-evident. It is not just the talk between us and the officials and it ends there. I do imagine that they obviously should give reports to the ministers in terms of what transpired in Parliament and maybe some of the recommendations that we make. So, in principle, I think ourselves, we're all in agreement. Ministers have a role to play in assisting the process forward. I think that's where we should leave it at. There is a role for ministers. The DGA was speaking about the need to amend legislation, do this and that. That will require political leadership. So that element is not lost. We're aligned to it. Let me give Honorable Steele, after whom I would want to see if we cannot bring this to a close, because I think the issue was very straightforward, and I think there is no contradiction in terms of what the actual challenges are. Honorable Steele.
Thank you, Chairperson. You said right at the outset that this was about the war against poaching, those were your words. And if this war against poaching is won, then we're going to have to see the coordinated efforts of everybody from the people that check the containers at the airport right the way through to the person sitting on the coach watching the boat or the product being landed. And it's going to require the coordination across all of these departments, clearly. Chair, my question, though, is to
to go back to the Department of the Environment. If this war against poaching is won, there will be no product. There will be no confiscated abalone. There will be no income generated for the marine life MLRF. And how then are they going to sustain the operations of the MCM without this income?
No, Honorable Steele, I think it's, you know, it's like saying if we as COPA have such high impact and the department they were qualified for it, then we're working ourselves out of a job. So they need poachers in order to sustain themselves. No. I think I'll let that one pass. I'll let that one pass. Comrade, my understanding here is that our concern, which I think we've put through to the officials, and I think which was very ably put by SARS and also the Department of Water and Environmental Affairs, and I think the Commissioner in his opening address talked about bilaterals between themselves and the department, actually confirmed the challenge around coordination. And I think to all of you officials, our main plea and concern is that there should be coordination so as to enhance this fight against poaching. In our earlier hearing, the department conceded that there are certain areas that are literally unpatrolled, which means those are poachers' paradise. You may actually find that poachers have given demarcated fiefdoms for each other because they are, you know, it's like the Wild West. And if you have such a situation where there are areas where we are unable to even patrol, it's quite a worrying factor. And I think it brings the agency, the commissioner, of this come together. At whatever level. So I think from our side, we would want that there has to be a sit-down. And as soon as possible reach some form of formal agreement which would be happy if it's communicated back to us so that we know that indeed this is what we've agreed upon and this is how we're going to do it. And one of some parts of the consideration has to be the issue of sanction. A person is apprehended by the police, taken to court, and that fellow is fined 7,000 rand, and the next day he's diving again. The sanctions, are they a sufficient deterrent or not? Which means the police arrest the same guys over and over again. They even know them. Hey, Kuman, is it you? Yeah. Once again. So that element will have to be looked at, even if it means legislation must be amended. I'm saying this, Commissioner, Justice, because abalone as a commercial industry is now extinct. And I would imagine that to a large extent because of poaching. So we certainly would want that those elements will be looked at. And the question of the environmental court, I do think that there's need for a review on that decision. And I must say that I was not happy that you had this experiment, it was closed, there's no formal report that says we had this experiment, this is what we have seen, and that's why we recommend its closure, so that we can be able to say what are the lessons that were learned. I think that there is need to revisit this in whatever format.
because it had a high conviction rate, and unless you had a deterrent that people would be arrested or be prosecuted or brought in jail, nothing will deter people from you know, from poaching. I think that's I think those would, in short, be our position. We would want that our coastlines to be closely guarded, because we know that the poaching, of course, not only of abalone, but of many, many other things, by people who come from supposedly developed countries, who are developed through crooked means. They sail all over the world and do wrong things, and then they get the Somali pirates. So we don't need those. So the capacity of the police and the navy, and also the department, with the limited resources we have, how do you strategically utilize them so that this scourge is not with us? We want to thank you very much, and thank the department. Yesterday we went to your storage facility, and we were able, some of us, to see an abalone for the first time in our lives. Unfortunately, we did not have a tasting ceremony, so we're not sure what is in that thing that would make people to risk their lives, dive at night, and even when there are sharks around, they are prepared to go and grab that thing. I don't know what is in that thing, but it appears it's something worth dying for. Thank you very much. Comrades, there's a function hosted by the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. It's a mini-launch of Operation Clean Audit. We, as the committee, are all of us invited, and have accepted on your behalf that from here we're going straight to all the assemblies. The program will finish it around 12:30. Thank you very much. Thank you.